Good morning, family. How's everyone? Happy Sunday. You guys are the early birds. The early bird gets the worm, right? Did we get more anointing? I don't know, but we get Jesus as much as our hearts are hungry for him. So I just pray that you're blessed this morning. We've been in an incredible series about unshakable peace. Have you guys been enjoying that series? I get to like hammer the last nail in this series where we can hang truth on, hang our lives on. So I'm excited to share with you this morning. And I was thinking about a trip or, you know, kind of an adventure that we took last summer up in Tahoe. We go every summer, and they have now established these treetop adventures. Have you ever been on these, like where you can, you get in a harness and you climb these huge trees and you go up and you do crazy things, not just zip lining, but you like go through crazy obstacles. Has anybody experienced that yet? I know Caleb has. He raises his hand. Can you put the picture up that's on that slide to see if you can even see Phoebe and Ben? They're so little. I mean, it just kind of gives you perspective. If you can see these little, you can't even tell that they have little hard hats on and they're up high, not on the lower level, but on the upper level, right? And so here we are as a family in this special treetop adventure, right? And we start off, and they start you on a zip line that's really super short, lower to the ground. But pretty much the next set of obstacles is this little plank, this little platform you step on, and it's not that you just have to step through the air to the next one. But of course, they put this hanging metal pipe, the shape of like a diamond, that's floating and moving, that you have to step through in order to get to the next one. All right. So here I am on this platform, harnessed in, and I began to shake. Like literally, like, I mean, if you look down, you could see my legs shaking. My hands are shaking. Nothing was stable anymore. And you know all the scenarios that can go through in your mind in just a brief second? Okay, I was having all those scenarios. Like, will I survive? Will I drop to the ground? You know, like, you know, am I going to make it through? I feel like I had no strength left, and I was freezing. And I mean, like, I think my kids had gone before me, and they all just zoomed through it. And I think Caleb was behind me. He's like, "You got it, babe. You got it. You know, like, keep on moving." And I was moving so slow, like a snail's pace. And for some reason, this particular obstacle had a slight upward, you know, gradient to it. So you're not only trying to move forward, but you're trying to move up at the same time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking, what did I get myself into? This is crazy. I mean, I'm all for adventure. Like I used to do the whole cliff jumping and crazy stuff when I was a teenager, but I felt like ignorance was bliss, right? And I do, like, if I have a fear, I like to kind of move towards it. When it comes to adventure things, life things, you know, physical things, I'd like to move towards that and, you know, break through my fear. And so here I am, like, and I got myself into this situation. You know, it's like going to family camp and you're up on that platform for the rope swing, right? And you can, like, you can be, if you stay up there too long, you probably aren't going to do it. Because your thoughts take over, right? And you don't have to be, like, super imaginative of what could happen because you've watched other people fail. You've watched them smack the water. Well, here I am, like, going, oh my gosh, can I get through it? And it was so funny on this adventure because you hear throughout the area, "You got it, Mom, you got it." And like kids cheering on their mothers. I don't know if mothers were more present than fathers there, but boy, the mothers needed a lot more encouragement. And I had just a kick out of kids encouraging their moms through this course. And so I made it through, okay. And then I began to get comfortable being up there. And so to finish it off, like last time, I'm like, I had to go back to that one that took me like 15 minutes to get through. And then I just could walk through it. I could just step through it. I'm like, I'm so comfortable now. I'm so good with this now. I can just move through it. And from what took me so long, a snail's pace before, I was able just to move through it. Well, that's a choice thing. But what happens when Jesus sets you in a situation where he's commanded you to go through something to get from a place where you're comfortable on that land into a boat, right, to the other side? And I feel like these messages about peace is really the Holy Spirit, really is the Lord leading us, saying, I want you to get to another side. I want you to get to another place in me. You got to get off the comfortable land that you've been in and get in that boat and start moving to the other side. And so it's really at the command of our Lord that we begin to move You know, in Luke 8, 22, it says, the master said, let's go to the other side. How many know when Jesus speaks, it doesn't mean there will be no storms, no challenges? The disciples were following their master. This wasn't of their own choice, their own adventure, like this is what we're doing. They're actually following the word of the Lord. And it is in that place that this storm comes up. And I just go back to really what the Lord gave me in the second service, and I want to share it with this service this week. But last week in worship, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, the storm you've been in is not meant to destroy you, but to develop you. And he's causing things to come to the surface in these turmoils, these trials, to draw the best out of us, to bring us to the other side, to the next level. And so today I want to look at John 20 and Luke 24. And the context, of course, is here. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. He's resurrected. And now reports are being circulated among the disciples that he's alive. And so let's pick up in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again in that moment. Luke 24, the complimentary passage, I want to read it as well. Gives us a little bit more perspective. It says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way. This is the two on the road to Emmaus. They're like reporting to the disciples, oh my gosh, we are talking to Jesus and we didn't know it, you know, all that. And how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, and I like when you talk about Jesus, what happens? Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And verse 40, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. So let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word today. And I pray that we would see you, our eyes would behold you, that you would take like scales off of our eyes. Lord, our mind's eyes would begin to behold you in new ways today. Lord, I pray that you would do a final work in our hearts to solidify what you've been talking to us about for weeks now, what you've been trying to get into our hearts, that it would anchor our spirits. It would anchor us in you. Holy Spirit, breathe in this place. You who are perfect love, come in your name. Amen. Amen. So here they are shut in a room and they're assembled together. We don't have to guess why. It says because of fear. They are locked themselves, trapped themselves inside because they are completely, absolutely, utterly afraid. And some things had happened on the outside, but it's interesting because it was on the outside that locked them up on the inside. Isn't that how it goes? They've experienced some things on the outside that now lock them in the inside. This was an intense time. I'm not trying to minimize what they're going through at all. Things did not go as they had planned, right? I mean, Jesus tried to tell them over and over, like, this is what's going to happen. But their friend, their leader, they're one that they've been traveling around with for the last 3 years. He was killed. There was betrayal. There was death. I mean, there was all kinds of things going on. And so they've got every deadbolt fastened. You know, they had the locksmith just come out the day before and, you know, put in more locks, right? Put in a better security system so that they were locked in this house. They were shut in and they were hoping that nobody could get through. But it's more here than locking others out. What happened is they are locking themselves in. And isn't that how fear works? We think we'll shut some things out. We'll push some things out. We'll put some locks on our doors. But what's happening is actually we're locking ourselves in. They were shut in with each other's doubts. Oh, that's fun. I think it's bad. And then you get to with someone who else is afraid. You have fear, you know, misery together. And so here they are in confusion, anxious, distress, and they are not helping each other. Their hearts are full of dread. Their hearts are full. And they say something and they're like, yeah, that's right, that's so bad out there, it's so bad. I mean, it just keeps going down and down. And you can just, you know, misery loves company, right? And they're just going down and cycling down and their minds are just going like, what are we gonna do? We're in this room and they're shaking and, you know, and they're just having not a good moment. They're not helping. So the trouble on the outside really turned to that squall that was on the inside and their restless minds, their thoughts just going 100 miles a minute. It wasn't very long ago that Jesus had told them in John 14, 27, what did he say to them? He said, peace, I leave with you. I'm not just going to give it to you and take it away from you. Peace, I leave. I grant you something, I leave it to you. And my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Not as the world gives. In other words, it's not saying that there's not going to be any conflict. There's not going to be any trouble. He's saying, I give you something that is above the natural, that is supernatural, that is above any circumstance, above anything that's going on. I give you something greater than what this world can offer. And so he says then, because of that, do not let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You guys should be familiar with this verse by now. I'm going to repeat some verses because we need them repeated. We need them to sink deep into our hearts. One time is enough. Two times enough. We got to get it until we get it, right? We got to keep receiving it until we get down in there. And so they were troubled. This is exactly what they were told not to be. And yet the description that Jesus says, it says, why are you troubled and why are you full of fear? He told them not to be these things. And yet they were these things. They're not so timid, shy, shut in. This difficult season had passed. I mean, Jesus crucified, buried, resurrected, but now these reports about him being alive. Different people are seeing Jesus, and they're still stuck in a storm that has already passed. Because now that storm has turned into the inside. They tried to shut the door to fear and lock it out. But the problem is fear wasn't out there. It was in here. It was inside, in their hearts. And I want to consider three things this morning. First of all, I want us to let us consider that fear lies, but Jesus is truth. Fear lies, but Jesus is truth. Fear lies to your feelings. It really does. Oh, I can give example after example. I'm going to give some, but the fact is, this is really truth in the study of fear, is that the more scared you feel, the more scarier things will seem. The more scared you feel, the scarier things will seem. If you're afraid of flying and you buckle in on that airplane and you get there and you're, you know, whatever, you're going and suddenly there's a little turbulence, what happens to you? You grip the bar, you know, you grip the seats next to you. You turn, you close your eyes, you know, you just start praying, oh, Jesus, oh, you know, whatever you do. Because what? You're so scared. And the rest of us are like, woo, this is fun. You know, can we drop some more? Woo, you know, and like, it's like a roller coaster. We're just having a good time. But because you feel scared, the more scarier that moment will feel to you, right? It would increase in fear. How about if you're watching for some reason a documentary on spiders? I don't know why you'd want to watch that, but, right? You just flipping through the channel, you're watching a documentary on spiders or, you know, like we love watching like the Blue Planet and Planet Earth or whatever, these incredible things with animals. And then suddenly you feel a little tickle on your neck. You know, you're on the sofa and you feel what? Because you feel a little scared just watching that show. They're not even spiders in your house right now. And what you feel a little tickle and you just, and it takes you to another realm, right? It takes you to another place. Because fear is a liar. Fear lies to our feelings. It lies to our emotions. But Jesus is truth. And for some here, the initial difficulty is gone. We're past it, but we've let such fear on the inside of our hearts that it's like the event is still happening in our feelings. It's still happening in our emotions because we're still believing the lie of fear. You know, some of us, we've come out of a broken marriage, a previous marriage, and we can't and we don't and we choose not to trust anyone anymore, and we never break into a new relationship. Some of us were bitten by a dog when we're 3 years old. And yet, when we see a dog, we're still gripped on the inside that it's going to come and eat us again. It's going to come and take a bite out of us again, even though that dog is wagging its tail and happy and jumping up and down, excited. And we're like, oh my gosh, it's going to get me, you know? And because we are still living out of a lot, out of fear, out of that place. The news reports alone can get us gripped in such fear that it clouds our mind. It brings such a darkness over us that we refuse to travel, and you're held hostage to your own home because fears. I mean, Caleb and I, we get this question all the time. Aren't you scared to go there? Aren't you scared? I put my trust in Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to be stupid. You know, I'm going to use wisdom and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And I'm going to use that. But boy, no, I'm not letting fear dictate my life and where I go and what I do. You know, you might have been healed from a car accident you had 20 years ago, but your mind is still paralyzed in fear. So every time you get in the car, you have to drive. You got to kick the driver out because you have to be in control. I know. I love you, honey. It's okay. You may have made a mistake at work, and now that has gotten you to the place where you're so afraid to speak up, to give your opinion, or simply add to the team anymore. You haven't become an addition, you've become a subtraction now because you're held in bondage to fear. You felt your parents struggle to pay the bills when you're a kid, right? And when you're a child, and so now as an adult, you slave to work because fear drives you with that feeling of you'll never have enough. You never make it to that point. Tears roll down your cheeks every time your child gets sick. And it's not tears of empathy. It's tears of fear because you go worst case scenario every time they get sick. Worst case scenario. And you just cry as a parent. You just can't handle it when they get sick. You can't handle it when they bump their knee. You can't handle it when they fall off their bike and break their arm because you go worst case scenario every single time. But now that little Johnny has grown up and he's 16 years old and he's got the keys to the car. And you can't rest until Johnny gets home, right? Johnny gets home. 17 now, he's been driving for a while. Because why? You're in such torment. Your thoughts are going and cycling around and around and around. And what are you envisioning? You're looking, your cell phone is right next to you the whole time. Because every text message, every phone call, you're like, is it him? Is it him? Is it him? Is he okay? Is he okay? And you're so worried. You can't sleep at night. Because you've bought a super expensive car. And you've heard the number of break-ins that have been happening in Novato. And now you're just worried that someone's going to break in and steal it, or let alone scratch it. Your mind is being controlled by fear. Your emotions are being controlled by fear. But fear lies. You've heard it said the past few weeks, but maybe it hasn't got through yet. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, back at it. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing. It's more than a song. It's scripture. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead of being anxious, what does it say to do instead? It says, replace your anxiety, replace your fear with prayer. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, hey, instead of anxiety, have a prayer life. And have one with thanksgiving, not be joy-filled instead of just complaining and whining and nervous. Be a joy-filled prayer, thanking God for who he is. And the peace of God, what does it say? It will guard your hearts and minds. God will install a security system in your life. A security system against fear. He will go. So you don't need to be in there with locked doors. You don't need to be like the disciples with locked doors around them, locking things out, locking yourself in, because God is the one guarding your heart and your mind. All right. The thing is, we try to build our own security systems, don't we? We try to shut things out. And in doing that, we're locking everything, everybody, and everything out, locking ourselves in. But Jesus says, peace be with you. Get this, you guys, he says it two times, not just one time, two times. And you know what? This is so funny because I was studying this out and like some, you know, scholars are like, he was just saying like, hello guys. I'm like, he was saying more than hello guys. His words are power. His words are life. And he acknowledges, he says, you guys, your minds are troubled and you are full of fear. And so he wasn't just saying, hey guys, I'm here. He was saying, peace be with you. He was calling them into a new place. He was releasing what they needed in that moment. Wasn't he? This was not just blessings without substance. This is when just smack a little greeting on there and we have no substance to its words. They were in trouble and they needed more than just quietness of soul. They didn't need him to just come and go shh, 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 shh. They didn't need him to come in and just shush them. They needed his power. They needed to be together with him. They needed to be joined to that life source that he is. So the life of who he is would flow into their being, the Prince of Peace, you know, connected to the vine, the branches connected. That sap, that thing would just draw into their very being, and they would be strengthened by their connection with him. They would be at one with him. All that good that's in him would flow into him. And here's the truth, you guys. There is power in Jesus's word, but only that which we allow into our hearts will impact our lives. So here we are preaching a message about peace every week. Peace. Peace. But if we don't get it on the inside, there's not going to be any change on the outside. There's not going to be any impact in how we live our daily lives. We got to let his word sink into us. And these disciples had trouble getting the word to sink in, but we'll get there. But his words are life. Jesus told us not to fear anything because why? It adds nothing to you. That's his words, Matthew 6. Fear adds nothing. What can you add to your life? Jesus asked, what can you add? Can you make yourself taller, bigger, stronger? Can you have everything that you're, you know, really wanting? No, he says you add nothing. Anxiety adds no thing, nothing. And here's the thing, fear has torment. This is why God wants it out of our lives. Fear with it torments your feelings. It torments your mind. It torments your heart. It torments your soul. And perfect love drives out fear. You have not been destined to live in fear. God wants to drive all that anxiety out of your heart. Let's go into point number two. Fear thrives in darkness, but Jesus is light. Fear comes in and it clouds the mind, right? It takes over your thoughts. It brings that darkness. And we have to realize that we need to keep our focus on Jesus. We get so caught up in the circumstances, so caught up in where we need to keep our focus on Jesus. He is the light that causes darkness to flee. I love this parable. I forgot what country it's from, but it says, turn your face to the sun and the shadows will fall behind you. Turn your face to the sun. And I just like that image of turning my face to the sun, S-O-N, of God. And the shadows, the darkness falls behind me. But you know, there are times that you choose, you're trying to choose to shake anxiety and fear. And maybe you've been in this message series and you realize, I've been trying to, you know, work on this. I'm thinking, I'm doing the Philippians 4. I'm going on to think on the things of virtue. I'm going to think on the things of praise. I'm setting my mind. I have a choice. And, you know, really, I like to propose, like, we deal with fear a lot of times because we are thinking on the wrong things. We choose to think on the wrong things. Caleb had a great message last week about choosing and the power of choice and how God has given us that choice. But also, we could be dealing with a spirit of fear. And you cannot battle a spirit without the help of God. You cannot battle spiritual forces and principalities in your own power, because in the realm that God has created things, they are higher and more powerful than you. Angelic beings are higher and more powerful than humans. And that's how God has made God, angels, man. That's where he set forth man last, right? Humans last. And so even on the scale, we need God's help, who's above all, to help us deal with that which is above us. in the fallen state, right? And so we need God to help us. And there's times that you need help as a child of God to help you deal with the spirit of fear. How do you know if you're dealing with the spirit of fear? Because it's something you can't just shake. It's not something that you can just change your thinking. I'm thinking about positive things. I'm really implementing, again, that Philippians 4. I'm going after the things that are beautiful and thanksgiving, but I just can't. It's just after I'm tormented by the spirit. You know, when I was a child, I used to be a slave to fear. And I mean, there are times I would invite it into my life by watching horror movies. You know, Friday the 13th was our jam, you know, and like we would, and then we'd be afraid for months. You know what I'm talking about? You just finance the spirit of fear to visit your life. Stupid, right? And so I would just be, you know, as a child, I had nightmares and this just a fear that would grip me. And sometimes it'd be more intense than others and just crazy. That's where my fear of frogs came out. And I mean, just, you know, I screamed one time because there was a frog and I went running down the neighborhood. My parents thought I was being kidnapped, you know, it's just a frog, you know, but as a Christian, and to learn the process that I have power over the spirit of fear. That I don't have to live in torment with the lights on and no sleep. You know, I know when we were newly married, probably about a month in being married, and I had a dream, and I actually dream every night, so, but sometimes they are really spiritual dreams. But I had a dream, and I was turning to confront a spiritual leader of a ungodly religion, and I won't name, but I was in my dream, I turned to confront him, and I was going to call out the demon that was in him, and he looked at me, and his eyes made contact with me, and I knew that the demon knew what I was about to do, and it freaked me out. Like, you know, like paralyzed fear, like, you know, and so he made eye contact with me. So I woke up in just incredible fear, just panic, terrorized, like, oh, it knew what I was about to do. I was about to cast that thing out, you know, like, and so I had been praying for this person, was praying for this leader. And so in that process, I'm like, oh goodness, I got to get up and go to the bathroom. And so I crawl out of the covers. You know how you think covers will protect you? I don't know why. See, it's fear is irrational. Like, somehow staying in those covers, that layer, it's like the lock on the disciples' door. Somehow this is going to protect us, right? And so I, you know, go and I scurry to the bathroom. And of course, you know, when you're done, when you're in fear, you want light, don't you? I mean, even natural light. And so I'm like scooting out of the bathroom with my fingers like on the switch as far as I can go to still be in the light, right? Flip it off and jump back to the bed quietly and go, I didn't say anything to Caleb. Well, in this process, Caleb wakes up and he goes and uses the bathroom. I'm just sitting there, oh my goodness, you know. And he comes back to the bed and he's like, do you know that there's a spirit of fear in the bathroom? And I'm like, yes, I left it there. I left that there. And he's like, let's pray right now to cast it out. And so we prayed right there. And immediately, this is how powerful God is. Immediately when we called on the name of the Lord, that spirit of fear was gone. It was out of there. There was no more like, there was no making it up. There was no like, oh, I feel so peaceful now. It was just complete peace. All that feeling, all that anxiety, all that, it comes in first thoughts, you guys. It comes in for, you know, like how he works. He's, you know, don't be ignorant of the wiles of the devil. And all that thing, all that anxiety, completely gone. Goodbye. And I learned a powerful lesson that day. The spirit of fear has no authority over me. And this was a powerful lesson as a young couple, because then Caleb would go on to travel a lot with our previous pastor, Roger Hausman, and he would go on these overseas trips for 4 weeks, even up to 5 weeks at a time, and be gone. And I would be home. I mean, this is before we had kids and everything. And I'd be home alone. And there are times that spirit of fear would try to come back and sneak back and visit me. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't. I have authority over you. I don't need my husband. I need Jesus. And Jesus would cast the thing. And I've never dealt with the spirit of fear like I did as a child in that moment ever again. Because I have authority in Christ. The light of who he is lives in me. And God wants to bring freedom from the tormenting spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given you a spirit of fear. This is not something that is God-given. So if somewhere you believed a lie that somehow you're supposed to have anxiety, you're supposed to have fear, it's a lie. And he has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He has given you three things. Where fear adds nothing, he's added three things to your life. He's added what? Power, dunamis, dynamite, miracle working power. That's how strong he's made you. He's added love because love drives out fear. He's added that agape, God-given, unending love to your life. And look at that, a sound mind. I underlined it, brought down your notes. What did he give you? He gave you self-control. He gave you an ability to restore your senses, your heart and your mind, that it's not under the control or the influence of fear. But it's at rest. It's sound. Oh, in the sound. It's smooth. In the sound. The soundness of my mind. God has moved in. He's restored my mind. He's restored my heart. Today, I really do hear Jesus still asking, like he did in the boat with the disciples, where is your faith? They are saying, don't you care? And he's like, no, it's not about where am I. He's like, where is your faith? It's not to be in our own strength. It's not to be in the engineering of the boat or however the structure of this life. It's not to be in the forecast of what's coming, the weatherman, right? Our trust, our faith is to be in the Lord Jesus himself. And so here these disciples are filled with commotion. They're filled with dread. They're filled with distress. Their thoughts are just swirling, swirling, swirling. And what does Jesus do? He comes and he shows up right in the midst. He comes right in the midst of the storm. It doesn't matter how dark it's been. The sun always rises even when there's a storm. Let nature preach to you, you guys. The sun rises even when there's a storm. You just don't see it. It's darkened out. It's clouded out. But I tell you, the sun is still there. And Jesus has walked right into the midst of your storm. He's walked right into the midst of the room this morning. He's at the door of our hearts and he's knocking. If anyone opens, he says, I'm right here. The door may be locked, but you got to choose to unlock that door. And that door is your heart. And he's right at that door. He's saying, I'll come in. Let's have dinner together. There will be no lack. There will be no nightmares. The insecurities will flee because you're in the presence of the one who is love. The chaos will dissipate because you've let him in. Let Jesus into the heart, your heart. It doesn't matter what kind of turmoil you've been facing or will face. That anxiety, habits, addictions, bondage, emotional or typhoons, physical and health nightmares, marital upheaval, family problems, financial dilemmas. I mean, you can fill in the blank. I'm just here to tell you this morning that the Lord wants to speak to you and he wants to tell you the reign of terror is over. The reign of terror is over. You are a child of God, and as a child of God, you know, I can call you baby girl, baby boy, whatever you want, but what would it look like if you lived free from fear, anxiety, and worry? What would your life look like? Where would you be? What would you be doing? Start dreaming, start thinking, start putting your thoughts in a different place. Where would you be and who would you be? What would you be doing, child of God? Does it mean that no challenges will ever come your way again? When they come and it tries to shake you, it tries to take you, that darkness tries to creep back in. What do you have? Unshakable peace, because you've got Jesus. And he can walk right into the midst of anything. The scripture tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When the rivers start to flood over, what? You're not going to drown. You're not going down. When you go through the fires, I'm right there with you. I'm not going to leave you. I am with you. So challenges, trials, difficulties will come. Things that will try to stir up your anxiety. But you have a choice right there to trust the one who says, I am with you. It's time to stop spending our lives today on worries about tomorrow. It's time to live the full life that God has set us to live. And Jesus is standing in the room and he's turning the lights back on, the light of life. And he says, not just peace be with you, but what does he say? He says, look at my hands, look at my feet. Can you check out my side here? What is he doing? He's saying, if you would look at me, what? because they've remained unmoved by his words. So he's like, just take a look, focus on me. If you would stare at me, I felt forgotten. I've been forsaken. I've been rejected. I've gone now to hell and back. But I'm back. I'm back. He went to the lowest parts of the earth. And Hebrews tells us if we would fix our gaze on him, we could go through anything. We can endure anything. He's come to deliver everyone who, through the fear of death, were their whole lifetime subject to bondage. And he's ripping the shackles off. Because some of you, you've become a believer. You've become a follower of Christ. And, you know, worst case scenario is death. But Jesus, he stepped in and he overcame worst case scenario. He overcame death. And so he wants to free his people from the bondage. Bondage of fear. The bondage of fear. It's time to unlock the doors. Lastly, this morning, number three, fear paralyzes, but Jesus mobilizes. Fear will come in and paralyze action, right? Immediate, like that terror, that fright. You know, you can, there's, you know, we talk about fight or flight, you know, mode. And really, fear's goal here is to get you to, ooh, like so panicked, to freeze in fear. Most people, when they're scared, their automatic reaction is to freeze and then react, right? You have a moment first, a paralyzing moment. Oh, I'll never forget when Ben was little, and I hid in the hallway, right, downstairs, and he's came, this little kid walking through the hallway, and I jumped out, and I scared him. And as a parent, I have to say, maybe it's the mom in me, I felt awful. Because I watched the process on his face. Terror, recognition of who I am, anger, right? Like, right? I watched these emotions of like, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I created complete terror in my child, and now he's angry at me, right? But you could watch all those emotions take place, and I felt so bad forever. I stopped scaring my kids, but they try to scare me now, right? My daughter loves to scare me. It's just a thing we have, you know? And I scream? I mean, to their delight, you know, I just like, you know, whatever. So, but there's that moment of paralyzing, right? That moment of no action, no movement. And this is where the enemy, I believe, is really trying to work in the body of Christ, is to get us into a place of inaction, to get us into a place we were locked in. We're shut in with ourselves. Oh my gosh, not just by our, you know, we're shut in with the rest of the body of Christ. We're shut in with the other disciples in fear. That's not where Jesus has us to be. You aren't to stay in the inside. You're to get out there. So Jesus speaks again. And what does he say? Peace be with you. Peace be added to you. Peace be in your life. And then he adds this: as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You're getting out of the house. You're coming out of this place. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I sent. You're not staying locked in, shut in, closed off. And we know the disciples really do receive this word because we see them getting, you open the book of Acts and they're like, whether we obey you or obey God. I mean, they just got like, we're not fearful of man anymore. And they just went to a whole nother level because Jesus took them to the other side. You're not just staying in the inside. He said, I'm going to send you as a peace releaser now. I'm going to send you as a minister of reconciliation. Something this world does not have. But I'm going to send you into this world with something very supernatural. And that's the peace of who I am. I believe the enemy has put scarecrows in the harvest field. When you really look at a scarecrow, it's just a stuffed nothing, right? It's just like, but it can do its job to scare away the birds, right? It does its, you know, thing. And I just feel like the enemy has planted scarecrows in the harvest field to scare out the believers, to scare us off. If we really would take a look, though, like what am I even afraid of? That dummy? That stuffed thing? What am I afraid of? And God wants us to take a look deeper at him this morning. There's not substance in the things the enemy's using. He's lying to our feelings. He's lying to us. And God wants to bring freedom this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and make their way to the platform. Here, these disciples' minds were literally blown. I mean, as Jesus stands there and he's like, go ahead, touch me and, you know, go ahead and see my side and, you know, that kind of thing. It says, I want to pick up in verse 41 through 45. It says, but while they still not believe for joy and marveled. I mean, they're just completely blown away. He said to them, have you any food here? He's like, okay, it's not enough for you just to touch or look. Give me something to eat. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written by the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So here he is, and he's like, what you just experienced is not to put you in fear. It's to realize that you were in the fulfillment of my word. Whoa. Wow, you guys. You were in the place where I can say, I told you so. Jesus, what kind of things did Jesus tell us about the life that we're going to live as Christians? Did he say it's going to be all rainbows and butterflies? No, he says in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trials. But what? Be of good cheer. Be full of joy because I've overcome the world. What are you anchoring your heart in? The trouble and the trial or the joy that Jesus gives in the midst of the trouble and the trial? He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but you can trust in him that his word will come to pass and you can have peace in what he and who he is. What did he say also? He said there's going to be an outpouring of his spirit. He says there's going to be times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. He says these things that we can anchor our lives in. It's time to anchor our life in the fact that he is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And I love this last little thought here. We'll go to response. It says he opened their understanding. Jesus. In that moment, it says he opened their, he supernaturally unlocked their understanding to receive revelation. The light of who he is was coming. Let's stand to our feet. So today, the reign of terror stops with Christ. We focus on him. Amen? Choice. He's giving you a sound mind. He's giving you love. He's giving you power, everything you need. So let's pray this morning. Just pray in response to this message that Jesus, you would show us truth. Where we believed a lie, that you would sweep in, God. You would come in, Lord, and you would replace that lie with the truth of who you are, with the truth of who we are. God, and what you've said about the times we live in. You said that great darkness would cover the earth, but you said your light would rise on your people. There would be such a counter to that darkness with light, Lord. And I just pray that your people would see the light rising. That brings me to two is, Jesus, bring light. The second thing, just bring the light that we need on the inside. Fear has closed our minds, our hearts. Our imaginations, our dreams have dwindled, have come down. We stopped imagining the great things that you could do, Lord. And I just pray that as you turn the lights on, as our focus goes to you, that you've overcome the worst case scenario. You've overcome death. That we would be filled with hope. That we would be filled with expectation, Lord. And that we would be filled with a fresh ability to endure the trial that we're in. And lastly, Jesus, I pray that you would mobilize us. That where we've locked in, where we've shut in, where we closed ourselves off from this world, that you would unlock those doors, starting with the door of our heart, and that you would open us up again to not fear rejection, to understand the power of the good news, the gospel. Lord, that your life, who you are, the peace of who you are, would flow through us, from you, through us, to this world. Your supernatural peace would be released, Lord, and we would see more people reconciled to you in this year, in 2019, than we have in previous years. I pray that you would increase fruit. You would increase fruit in our lives. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and worship as a response song to the Lord today. God bless you.